So, good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see you all again this evening for this part three of our Confident with AI Masterclass series with Charlie Joe Tyra. And yeah, I'm Julian Garner. I'm the Chief Executive of Tabip, and it's been great to work with Charlie Joe over the last few weeks to curate these sessions. And from the emails I've had, it's clearly been very beneficial. I've had some great feedback and examples of the things that people have actually been doing with AI. And that's been really positive. So, has anyone got any feedback on things you've been doing with AI over the last week?
I've been getting it to help me work out what I'll be able to do when after minor surgery that I've just had.
Oh, right. That sounds helpful. What
Because the doctors
to
didn't really give me very much advice, so I've been talking to it about that a lot.
And was that constructive?
Yes.
Good. Good. Well, that's helpful. Sorry to hear you've had to have treatment, but hopefully you'll recover well and have some guidance on the way.
It seems to be going okay.
Good.
How did you do that, David? Did
One
just
stone
by
on a tiny
opening a
pub
chat
crawl.
and having a conversation with it?
I just literally started the conversation and I was like, I've
Yeah.
had this surgery on this day. NVDA.
The clinic said this. What do you think I can do? When can I Great.
do this? When can I do this? When can I do that? When can I do the other?
Yeah, I
That's
was
really
looking
good.
though. Sorry.
Steve, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I was also using. I use it pretty often, but today, for example, I was asking, if nothing earth-shattering, I'm afraid, but I've got a vehicle with air conditioning fitted, and the air conditioning only works on the driver's side, and on the passenger side, it blows warm air. So, I was asking ChatGPT, what can you give me some ideas as to what the most likely causes are? And it wanted to know the vehicle registration, or it asked me for the vehicle registration, and it was giving me some likely causes. And I think it was correct because it was saying that a blend flap actuator has probably failed, and listen out for a noise. And over the last couple of months, the air conditioning's been making a noise when we've been using it. So I thought that was quite,
Good. Yeah, that's
yeah.
good. Good diagnosis.
I did. I got some. Was quite successful when I had an issue with my braille display. It had stopped tracking the cursor. I don't know why. I must have changed something. And I put in Gemini. I put the question in, and I think I'm getting quite good at asking the right question, sort of phrasing it, what I want, that I'm using JAWS and my braille display, and this is what I wanted it to do. And it gave me two methods, including the JAWS shortcuts. And I did what it asked me to do. And I never actually knew that insert V was like quick settings in JAWS. And it worked. And these days, before I phone the company or something, I try that first. And certainly with both with VoiceOver and with like screen reader queries, 9 times out of 10, it's actually got me out of holes.
Yeah.
Good, very good. That sounds great. Thanks, Anne. A couple of people got their hands up, so I'm going to go to you. Charlie, you've got your hand up.
Thanks. Yeah, main thing for me from an accessibility perspective was earlier in the week I used AI for similar to the previous example, but it was with a screen reader. So I was using VoiceOver and I was trying to fill out a questionnaire for a YouGov poll thing, and I couldn't get it to insert my year of birth that it was asking for, and the box, I can't remember what the box was, but it was seemed inaccessible. So I went to Gemini and I shared screen. I used the live share screen, shared my Safari screen, and it said that it could see that the box was selected, but there was no edit field coming up. So we worked through a number of steps, and I realized that I had to tap and hold on the box, and then it would bring up the field that I needed. But it was helpful to have that sort of knowledge of what it was showing on the screen to demonstrate to me whether it was or wasn't working, and it was able to tell me what it could see on the screen and whether the box was selected, and able to offer some suggestions on how to get past that with VoiceOver.
That
Yeah,
sounds really good. I think that
yeah.
last week we talked about screen sharing on a phone to do the live photograph thing for Apple accounts. So that's another interesting live screen example using Gemini on a desktop. So
No,
thanks.
this was on an iPhone.
It
No,
wasn't an
this was on the
iPhone.
iPhone.
Okay,
Yeah.
iPhone.
This is on the iPhone using Safari, using the Gemini app, and it was using you go live, and then so you use the voice mode, and then you go live, and then you share the screen with Gemini and make sure the screen curtain switched off, and then it allows you to share whatever the screen is showing with Gemini, and as long as there's not too much voiceover chat, you can talk to it, and it can guide you what's on the screen as well.
Also, you can tell Gemini to ignore voiceover speech, and it can learn to do that.
Thanks. That's helpful also. Thank you. Paresh, do you want to go in?
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Hi, Paresh.
So I tried something different this time. So recently, I've been really struggling with lots of lower back pain, and I had an MRI scan done. And of course, the report came through, and I couldn't just make out any sense of it. So what I did was I took the piece out, which was explaining what's wrong and what the problem is and all that. Just that particular text, none of my private details, my address and all that stuff. So none of that. And I put it into ChatGPT and I said, can you explain in a very simple layman's language what this means and where the issue is, in some form of a simple diagram that I can understand. And literally within seconds, puff, I got very simple. There's issues on your L4 and L5. There's a diagram showing where the L4 is, L5s are, and this is what's happened. And then says, do you want me to give you some idea of possible treatments? I said, of course, please let me know. And then he gave me some options. I said, what is a safe way? And then, of course, when I had my appointment with my physiotherapist, I was a bit more knowledgeable in terms of what he was saying. And I just thought, this is like having a friend who knows everything. So yeah, I
That's
used it
great.
for that purpose and I was quite pleased.
Thanks, Presh. That's really helpful. So yeah, getting advice but backing it up with an expert is good, a good approach. Steve, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I would just concur with what somebody just said a few minutes ago about how solving a lot of my IT problems now using AI. It must have cut down my calls to IT people that I call by 80%. Yeah, because most of them, ChatGPT will help me solve them. So, and yeah, it's been really useful in that vein as well. The other area I use it for is I'm setting up. If I'm looking for certain products or a certain piece of equipment, I will set up a search, and I tell or I ask ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT mainly. I ask ChatGPT to search. Sometimes I tell it what sites to use. Often I just ask it to use search for relevant sites and let it make its own mind up. And I tell it what I'm looking for, give it the criteria, how many times I want it to check for, and how to report it back to me, and in what format, and how I want it to look, and all that sort of thing. You can use it for tickets to gigs and stuff of an artist that you might like or things like that. So, and that's and I was I run a website, and I was using it, and I've got scammers that were keep persistently using my website, and I'm using ChatGPT to help me identify those emails because they stand out like a sore thumb. So that's helping me identify those emails.
That's really good. Yeah, sound lots of practical uses there. The troubleshooting tech issues seems to be, a really good use for it, because it's just got access, I guess, to all the blogs and manuals and everything else. So that sounds really good. This evening, Charlie Joe's going to share some creative uses of AI to help with visual interpretation and visual creation. So, CJ, how are you getting on?
Can't get NVIDIA to talk in English.
Do you want to talk through, and it'd be nice to get the live demos. Is it helpful to talk through the workflows and then at least people have got a sense of the tools that you're using?
So what I was going to show you was I was going to take the I was going to take the table of contents for the Confidence with AI self-study course, which I'm developing based on what I'd initially prepared for this course, and I've redeveloped after the feedback from the last 2 weeks. And I was going to feed the 19 module titles and the course description into ChatGPT and tell it to design a logo for the Confidence with AI self-study course. Then I was going to take that logo and I was going to ask the I was going to load the logo back into the chat, and I was going to ask the image part of ChatGPT to generate a photograph of a cyclist or a gymnast or a football team wearing that logo on their strip. So I was going to create branded photographs of somebody wearing the Confident with AI branded merch. Then I was going to take that still photograph and I was going to turn that into a video. So it would show a cyclist or a gymnast or a football team playing football for 10 seconds in the Confident with AI branded gear. And the example that I had to show you as we went through that was with, I used to do a blog called the Blind AI, and we had a logo. We then had various, I had sailing ships with one of the sails had the Blind AI. We had gymnasts with wearing Blind AI leotards. We had cyclists wearing Blind AI race jerseys, and then we turned those into videos of people in the Tour de France, of the gymnast doing I'm going to say box spring jump. That's not a real gymnastic thing, but it sounds like it, doesn't it? In the Blind AI branded sports gear. So that allowed me to take part in three different types of visual creation. It allowed me to design a logo. So the Blind AI logo was like an eye with a circuit board for the iris and a few sort of sparkly bits and whatever. Then it allowed me to create photographs of people wearing merchandise or clothing branded with that logo. And then it allowed me to create a video. And the AI allowed me at every stage to verify what it was producing. And the important thing to remember here is that when the AI was describing it to me, it wasn't always perfect. But the goal at the moment wasn't really to be perfect. It was to be able to do these things. So those things were things that blind people literally have never been able to do. And that's one of the things that has really attracted me to AI over the last 3 years, is all of these impossible things. I once wrote a blog post saying I've already done six impossible things before breakfast. And they were creating logos and films. A lot of this would be much more exciting if I had been able to show you.
Yeah, but it's helpful to. I've got a hand up from Ricky.
Oh,
Is
go
that
on.
a question,
Yeah.
Ricky, about this?
Hey, Ricky.
Yeah. So what you've just described is really exciting, obviously. So well done. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because I've generated quite a few pictures, and I've been excited about being able to do that, because obviously since I went blind, it feels like I just can't do that, but suddenly I can. So I go on quite an intense feedback loop. So I generate a picture, then I, and this is really what I've been struggling with a bit, but it has been working quite well in the end. How do I get another AI agent? But not agent's the wrong word, assistant, to kind of describe the picture that I've now got and then refine it according to what I think is wrong with it, and go through that loop lots and lots of times. So I'm if I were generating a video, then I'd be thinking, oh, that's really hair-raising because, you know, I might have hundreds of frames and I don't want to have to do that for every single one. I suppose I would do all that work on one still and then say, make this still into a video doing A, B, C, D, and E. Then I'd probably be pretty confident the video looks like what I really wanted. But that, to me, that's the challenge. You can create tons of stuff, can't you, that's visual, but how do you know what it really looks like?
And you're never gonna know what it really looks like, are you? You know, some you can see is always gonna have supreme authority over you, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you someone's, I mean, I've had this where does somebody just say, oh, look at that blind who thinks he's a graphic artist. I used to worry about that. And what I realized was that that's a bit like when we laugh at deaf people when they talk funny, isn't it? That's what I tell people. So I make the best images I can make with the technology that I have. And if you're sighted and you think that the image doesn't look like I think it does, well, that's fair dues. I don't really care.
Okay.
I'm not creating images for my own self-aggrandizement. I can't see them. I'm creating them for you, the sighted person. It's I'm doing it as a courtesy to you. Now, that's not really the issue, is it? There is this point about, you know, there was an article in the Irish Society, whatever it's called, a couple of years back saying, can blind people be graphic designers? And I've written blog posts about saying, you know, can I now be a graphic designer? Because I write like a 500 word post, and then I will say to a model, you know, illustrate this, and then I'll get the illustration audio described, and I'll then get another model to analyze the article, the image, and the audio description, and the messages do follow through. But of course, it could just be random rabbits or nonsense in them because they're not, you know. But what I tell my people who I advise is that don't worry about that for now because they're just getting better all the time, aren't they? They're a million times better than they were 3 years ago. And the problem now is that these AI image generators are too good. So us blind people won't have to worry about can we create something that looks real? All the sighted people are panicking because everything, nothing looks real anymore. So I sort of,
Johnny Jay, I've got a hand. I have got. Thank you. That's really helpful. And I think I think it's really insightful. The philosophy of creating art, I think, is a really interesting one.
So someone else has got the hand up.
But yeah, Jessica, do you want to come
Yeah,
in?
sorry. I was just
Hi,
going to
Jessica.
comment. Hi. I was just going to comment basically on what you said about that. You know, basically, we'll basically agree with you that if chances are, especially if you have multiple ways of describing a picture, if they're all saying the same thing, then chances are your AI isn't fibbing. You know, that's the other thing to kind of look at it as well, is that if you make something with ChatGPT or you know, any number of other image generators out there, and then you go through Be My Eyes or Aira or any of them, and they describe it and they say the same thing that ChatGPT said it is, then chances are that's what it is.
I think that's
Yeah.
good. I mean, Charlie Joe, do you deliberately use different engines to cross-check?
So I do. So I use ChatGPT or Gemini to create images, and I always check them with at least two other different ones. So Claude, I use Claude is as the sort of main checker because it doesn't generate images. So I always check it with at least three different frontier models. And, you know, if they all say the broadly similar things, you know, I'm cool with it. You know, I'm not saying that a blind person could be the graphics editor of a fashion magazine or even a newspaper or anything at all, because if you have to compete with sighted people in a sighted world, it isn't good enough for that, is it? But I do feel it is good enough for me to participate. If I write a, if I do a you know, I'm a design fictionist, and if I create a design fiction piece, I feel I can reasonably add images and videos and graphs and diagrams to it, and they look good enough.
And I think there's a wider point that you can, I mean, in whatever hobby or activity you do, you could say the same about music. You know, unless you're a professional musician, what's the point of trying to write music? It's about the joy of creating it, isn't it? And your music is a value to you, and you're not professing to be a professional musician. But if AI can help you to create something interesting and beautiful, then go for it. So I think all these things have value. I guess we're trying to learn how to use the tools that are there to enhance and to, you know, experiment and try these things. Has anyone else used an AI tool for creative activity? I know we're going off the page a bit, CJ. Have they got other examples you want to talk
No,
to, which I think
I'm happy to answer
we'll come back.
questions because
So has anyone else used it for creative activities like creative writing or poetry or image creation? Oh,
Hi
hi
guys.
David.
Sorry
Come
guys,
in.
dropped in there. It was just a point I was going to make, but it seemed appropriate. It seems like there's two different methods here with using AI. You've got a discriminative AI where you're searching and drilling down into things, and then you're using generative AI to create things. So I'm wondering, two quick questions or two quick thoughts, really. Firstly, do you have recommend any different models specific to that kind of type, like generative, like whether it be whatever medium that is? But also, does that affect possibly the way you would prompt it a little bit, or the way you would use it a little bit? Just from purely just generative AI, because it would be working slightly differently to say discriminative AI, where I'm trying to drill down and search, filter. That kind of method, which is, when you're searching for facts on ChatGPT. Just those thoughts, really.
Yeah, so as I say, so I use it in very different ways. So one of the techniques that, like I mentioned, I create design fiction. One of the things I do is I get it to hallucinate. And what I mean by that is that, you can get it to just, you can get it to look at images. I get it to describe images that don't exist. So one of my pieces is called Do Androids Dream of Electric Ants? And what it is it's ChatGPT describing a photograph where the Hollywood sign has been replaced with blind ant, BLIND space ANT, which is that's the name I use for my practice. And it writes a 500-word description of the photograph. And then at the end, it then says this photograph does not exist. And that is but it's a very, very deep, it's exactly the way it would describe the Hollywood sign with the but it's just describing a sign that doesn't exist. So that is a particular type of prompting that I've developed. What I could then do is I could then take that description, give that to the image generator, and get it to generate the image. So that.
That's really fascinating that because there's that I've done a little bit of research onto it. I'm a beginner with it with AI. I don't profess to be anything but more than that. But it's interesting how generative AI it works a little bit differently in terms of its the way I understand it in layman's terms, it builds things differently. So it will almost like in a computer sense, it will throw lots of pixels on the canvas and then start removing things and then shaping things. So that's the best kind of analogy I can come with on the spot, but that's it kind of works a bit differently. So
Yeah, so yeah.
that's why hence the question, because I think the way you've answered that, it makes me think that there's a slightly different way to use it in a creative way, and you can kind of mix between the two depending on what you're doing with AI. I think it's quite interesting that.
So what you're describing there is the sort of the machine learning model that it uses. So you've heard about transformers. That is, I'm trying to remember the name of that one. It's not diffusion, it's something like that. It might be diffusion. That's just a type of way it generates an image. What I'm talking about is with prompting. So once somebody asked me to generate the hieroglyph for assistive technology, so I went into ChatGPT and I said, "Tell me everything you know about hieroglyphs." And it just spewed and spewed and spewed and spewed loads of words. Then I said, "Tell me everything you know about assistive technology for blind people." And it spewed and spewed and spewed and spewed loads of work. And I had about 15 screens all about hieroglyphs and assistive technology. And what that meant was that its working memory, what they call its context, its awareness, was full of information about hieroglyphs, ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, and assistive technology. So my next prompt was design the ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for assistive technology. And it came up with something that sounded really convincing. And then
Yeah,
I
because it's already been prompted. It's in the memory there. It's almost like you've filtered down.
And then I then said, "Brilliant. Now generate an image of that." And the friend of mine who works for charity wanted to do a little in-house training course, and he wanted the ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for assistive technology, had he? So that was a prompting sort of technique. And it wasn't the ancient Egyptian hieroglyph for assistive technology, but it was the justification it came up with. It was like four of them, and it said, "This is this shape, and this means this." And it was very convincing nonsense. And that's part of the script in the context of how you work with these things. So, if you want to create an image, you ask it to, imagine what this would look like. So, one of my other things that I do is I have a woman who's a protest artist. She's a Scouser, and she's called Down the Banksy, because Down the Banks is a sort of Scouse Irish phrase, and obviously Banksy's an artist. So, I design all of her graffiti, and it generates images of them. But I don't tell it the picture. I get her to talk about the picture, or I get other people to write newspaper articles about the graffiti, and then eventually I then get it to draw the graffiti. So all of the context is part of it. And one of her things was a protest round about racism in football, and the phrase was something like, "We can tell who plays for England by the colour of their shirt, not the colour of their skin." And none of the models would generate that, because they said it had the word footballer and racism and race and skin colour in it, and they wouldn't. In the end, I got one model that would generate that, but it generated like a corporate PR hero image, and it had all different color hands and different color football shirts, and it wasn't a rough thing. So what I then did was I got them to generate an interview of her being interviewed by it, and how did she feel about it being corporatized and used in the World Cup. I then got her to talk about how she felt about when she made the original image, and she talked about being angry and somebody being in a pub being an idiot. And then eventually, I then went back to another model and said, "Now generate this image." And it generated a description. I said, "No, describe the image." And it generated a description of an image that didn't exist and only existed in three different imaginary people's description. And then eventually I could generate that image. So again, you can almost hypnotize these things into doing whatever you want them to do.
That's
And that's
fascinating.
interesting.
That, that that's that's really yeah. That's really, really interesting, isn't it? It's creating an imagined narrative and then getting it to create the real thing. That's really, really interesting. Gosh,
Great, thanks,
that's
guys.
yeah. Very philosophical. Until you did a degree in philosophy, CJ.
I'm only halfway through.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Did get 83% this year, though, so I'm
Yeah.
doing quite hard.
Very good. So Ricky said, "Gosh, that's really interesting as well." On
Yeah,
comment.
thanks, Ricky. Anybody else got any other questions, or should I talk about something different?
Did you have any other example? Okay, sorry.
I'm just wondering, sorry, quickly, like, as you were saying with the model and it was having a hard time creating the, obviously it's ethics and all that. Sometimes I've noticed that you can get Grok to create things that might be a little bit more risky, and I'm just kind of wondering if you've tried it through Grok and then brought it back through that way.
Yeah, so last year I interned with the people who make Pixiebot, the image describer model,
Oh,
and
yes.
yeah, and we had a customer who his adult girlfriend sent him photographs that she was legally entitled to send him, and he, as an adult, was legally entitled to receive. That's all he told us. And the AI wouldn't describe them, and he was very aggrieved. And this is honestly true. I didn't have any of those images knocking around. I didn't want to go on the internet and find any. So I tried to create something to use that was risque. Couldn't do it with any of the ordinary models. I eventually found a service where you could access all of these completely uncensored Chinese image generation models. Managed to generate an image, which I thought was sort of soft core. Turned out to be an absolutely from obscene image.
Oh my
And
God.
apparently, I never saw it, obviously. But Grok was perfectly happy to describe it in extreme detail. None of the other models, ChatGPT just said, "Oh, sorry, I can't help you with this." Gemini sort of said what was happening, which made me realize that it had done much more than I wanted to do, generated something which was much worse than I'd asked for. And Grok was willing to just say exactly what the image showed in detail. So I suppose that proves Elon's point, doesn't it? That Grok was completely uncensored and my free speech was protected. But seriously, the customer was able to look at his images, whatever they were. And as I say, there were uncensored Chinese, Chinese models that would generate these things, but so the different models will do, have different guidelines, but most of them are pretty much of a muchness these days. And obviously, because I'm just a boring old person, I don't really ever. So any of the football racism one, it wouldn't do that. That's one of the only refusals I've had in my sort of personal generation. Did that answer your question? I wandered a bit off topic there,
Yeah,
sorry.
no, I was just basically thinking that had you done like with the whole racism thing, if you had run it through Grok instead, if it might have actually generated the description that you would have wanted, without you having to then, reprompt and then reprompt something else and
It
then
wouldn't. It wouldn't. It was the image it would generate. So ChatGPT and ChatGPT wouldn't generate the image at all. And Nana Banana created like the corporatized version. So it created like a sort of like a personnel department poster with a nice background and all lovely colored hands holding hands in unity under it and different flags of football teams, and it looked very much like a corporate branded logo. Rather than an annoyed piece of Diana Banksy, she's a protest artist, so she expresses her outrage in a graffiti. So she wrote something that was really visceral and really angry and really blunt, and it corporatized it. But Grok probably would have done it, yeah.
Okay, thanks, CJ. Pushing the boundaries of how these things are working, but interesting whether Grok gets forced to modify that. I mean, I think they have had to moderate it, haven't they, through having accounts and things in order to get some of its full functionality. But yeah,
Yeah, well,
interesting the
some.
different ethical approaches of these
Yeah.
models. So, did you? Let's move on then. So, were there some other topics you were going to
Yeah. So,
demonstrate?
to go back to this core to this business of we talked about context before, because that's something that I can talk about. So, I was listening to a podcast about the trad wife movement. Whether you, if you know what that is, then it's about stands for traditional wife, and it's a strange, weird internet thing. But I once thought to myself, well, if you think about blind people, there's a bit of a sort of like a trad blind type of tribe, isn't there? A sort of like traditional things, and there's a I'm one of the sort of mad AI, get a glide tomorrow, put implants in my head. So I thought I'm more post accessibility. So I got ChatGPT to think about trad wife movement and design what would trad blind be? And it came up with a really fantastic, really long, detailed description of what the trad blind movement was. Like, sort of like Radio 4 Energy was, I thought, was quite good, and all of those sort of things. And then I said, okay, well, what would the opposite be? What would post accessibility be? And I got a great big long description of what a post accessibility blind person would be like. And that's just a bit of silliness, really, isn't it? You know, it's 500 words describing a caricature of a sort of blind person. You know, some of them exist like that, but not all of it applies. And the same with post accessibility. So why did I bother doing that? Well, it was interesting. What it then allows me to do is it allows me to use those two files as context for future generation. So I don't know if you've heard about this high definition Braille material, which is being developed in labs in certain places. So they're producing what effectively could be clothing with like Braille in it. And you could have thousands and thousands of dots per inch. So we could effectively, in, you know, 5 years' time, be wearing a vest, which is like a, you know, it's got 300 dots per inch tactile display. So you could wear gloves or clothing where you could read on it. And I thought to myself, well, imagine in the future, people who skied could be surrounded by drones which could transmit information to this tactile material, and it would allow them to sort of ski without using a guide. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? You could have like a swarm of drones flying around you as you skied down the mountain, and they'd have the cameras, and they could transmit all of the details back to this tactile suit that you were wearing under your ski suit, and you might be able to learn how to ski without being able to see and without somebody shouting directions at you. So what I then did was I wrote those pretty much exactly what I've just said, and I loaded that into a context with the trad blind and the post accessibility. I asked it to do some searches for high definition tactile material. I then loaded in some other of my design fiction pieces, and I said, okay, design a story about a blind skier in the 2038 Paralympics being the first skier ever to race the Paralympics Super G with this drone swarm. And because it had all the information about the research into materials, at the trad blind, my conjectures, it used all of that, and it then generated a really interesting story. So this is where using generative AI can be more useful than just searching the internet. Because going back to the hieroglyphs, by saying, "Tell me everything you know about ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics," tell me everything you know about assistive technology, you're filling its working memory with those two things. And then when you ask it to think about something and create something, it uses that. It's the same with my Emma Hart story. It had all of this post-blind skiing, drones, tactile material, Paralympics, guide skiing, had all of that. It's floating around in its context, its working memory. And then when I asked it to generate a story about this race, it produces something which includes all of those different points of view.
So, CJ, when you've done that, how do you feel that because the AI is doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of the writing, when that piece was finished, did you feel like the author of that piece? How did it feel to write that? And did you feel the agency that you'd curated the context, you'd imagined it? Did it feel like it was you, or did you feel like the AI tool had gone off and written something
So that's a really
on
good
your behalf?
question. So if I was entering a short story, a creative writing competition, or if I presented it as a short story, I would feel a bit like this wasn't really my work, because I literally didn't, I didn't write the story. But in that case, because it was design fiction, you know, I created about I needed to edit about a dozen words in about a couple of thousand for the first piece. So for me, I didn't. I felt that it did the work because it to me the closer it is to what I the less I have to do, the better I feel like I've prompted the context. So for me, I'm a concept artist, but I could also be a context artist. So because I'd stuffed its working memory with enough stuff around that. And then what's interesting is so that was the original piece, and it was going to go on to be a thing about, it was going to be a bit like Oscar Pistorius with his blades and how he started racing sight, people who weren't disabled, and it was going to be, she was going to fight for, racing sighted people and all that sort of thing. But the model wrote a story, and her guide skier was a man. And I hadn't told it whether the guy's could be a man or a woman. I'm not sure even whether in Paralympics whether you men guide men and women guide. I don't even know. Never watched it. But because it created a story where the guy's gear was a man, I then created a second story where they'd won silver in the downhill because the field, as this thing was called, wasn't certified for downhill skiing yet. So she did come second, and it was because she'd made a mistake. And I then decided that the story had completely changed. So because it was a man, I didn't want it to be some little blind girl being led around by a bloke for some bizarre reason. So I decided that she had a wife, and that her wife was not part of the story, but she was in the background protecting her image, and she was very involved in the technical side of it. So the third part of the story then became all about how the fact that she'd won the gold medal in the Super G now, and she'd done it in 87.9% of the speed of the sighted gold medal winner. And the defense contractor who developed the field she used and wanted to create to turn her into this huge, big role model. And the final part of the story was her being interviewed by, like Jonathan Ross type thing, and they were asking what does she want to do? Does she want to race sighted skiers? Does she want to compete? Could she want to compete in the actual Olympics? And her answer was she wanted to teach her wife to ski, because they'd met when this woman was still sighted, and she'd promised to teach her wife to ski one day, and then she'd gone blind. She'd 8 years later, she rebuilt her life and was a Paralympic skier, and she'd never kept that promise. And all she wanted was for this field to be certified for just open slopes, so she could go skiing for the day with her wife and teach her to ski. And the moral of the story was that sometimes accessibility, inviting somebody else into your day, isn't necessarily the answer, and that sometimes being able to choose your own day, your own way. And she just wanted to be the most experienced skier in their marriage because she was the most experienced skier in their marriage. She didn't want to have to invite somebody else. So the model, by choosing the man as the guide skier in the first story, completely changed what I'd planned to do with that design fiction. It was going to be all about the fight and the battle for her to ski against people who could see and all that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
Thank you, CJ.
so
It's
no,
helpful
yeah.
to understand that. It's really insightful.
So was any of that created anybody any questions other than why is this person going on and on about blind ants and imaginary blind skiers?
I was interested in the music side of it. You also have created music. So how would you, what tools have you used to create music from a storyline? What tools have you used for that?
So going back to the trad blind and post accessibility, I created this, I suddenly wanted to create a song, and I suddenly thought to myself, cozy accessibility should be a genre, because I created this genre of short story called speculative accessibility. That's like science fiction about access technology, and I thought, what about cozy accessibility? And I've got in my kitchen, I've got a talking microwave from 1997. And right next to it is an air fryer that I control via an app on the iPhone. And In fact, the first line of the song code accessibility is I've got a talking microwave from 1997 next to an air fryer control burner. And honestly, I love them both. I was just about to say, I love them both. So I added all of those two things into the context. I told it that I've got a microwave and an air fryer and I like them both. And, sometimes I know there's a shortcut. I know there's insert. Control Alt G in JAWS to do this, and I could probably look it up, but I just think for goodness sake, I'll just use the memory, the menu. We don't, I don't need to optimize, do everything perfectly every time. Sometimes I just want to get it over and out with without worrying about, oh, we could do it this way instead. Put all that in, got it to write a song called Cozy Accessibility, got it to specify it in a way that the Google Flow music generation tool users, put it in, and got a 3-minute song called Cozy Accessibility.
I've got a talking microwave from 1997. Big square button, slightly crackly voice. Next to an air fryer controlled from my phone, and honestly, I like them both. People keep saying the future is frictionless, but sometimes I just want the button that always works. Cozy accessibility, soft light in the singularity. I don't need to optimize my soul, just help me read the menu and get cozy accessibility. Cozy, it's accessibility. Cats asleep beside the technology. The future doesn't have to feel cold to still be beautiful. Yes, I know there's a shortcut key, and yes, I know the faster workflow. But if I use the menu once every year and a half, that's actually fine, that's actually fine. I'm not trying to become a cybernetic protubidity goddess. I just want the PF to read in the right order. And somewhere between the screen reader walls and I describe a photograph, we forgot people are allowed to feel tired. Cozy accessibility, soft lights in the singularity. I don't need to optimize my soul, just help me read the menu and get cozy accessibility. Cozy accessibility, cats asleep beside the technology. The future doesn't have to feel cold to still be beautiful. Not every future has to sound like a startup pitch deck. Sometimes the revolution is a calm voice saying, take your time, I'll explain it again. And maybe that's enough, maybe kindness scales too. Cozy accessibility, warm tea in the air.
One of the lines in that song was something like, kindness scales too. And this goes back to what you're saying, Julian, about, do I feel like I haven't really created it? I thought to myself, oh my God, kindness scales too. That's the genius line in the entire song. The song is a bit of nonsense, but kindness scales too. And that's an absolutely amazing concept because we're all, all of these tech bros and Silicon Valley idiots are always going about scaling, scaling, and I thought kindness scales too. So I then went on to create an entire different song called Kindness Scales Too, which is like a sort of a ballad thing. And that's absolutely fantastic. And I'm really, really happy with that.
We scale the networks, we scale the clouds, build shining systems loud enough to drown us out. Every year another dashboard, another update to survive, another voice saying, move faster if you want to stay alive. But somewhere in the noise, somebody still cared enough to to slow things down. A calm voice in the darkness saying, take your time, I'll explain it again. Not just the cold machinery, not just the acquisition or the endless urgency. Kindness scales too, a thing we do every doorway left open, every system built for people passing through. Somebody wrote the old text, somebody fixed the form, somebody stayed late helping strangers navigate another storm. Somebody made the interface a little easier to trust. And maybe civilization is partly built from things like us. Not heroes, not visionaries, to make the world harder than it has to be. Kindness scales too, not just the cold machinery, not just the acclimation or the endless urgency. Kindness scales too, a thing we do every doorway left open, every system built for people passing through. I don't need a frictionless existence, I don't need to optimize my soul, I just want futures big enough for tenderness and technology that don't mistake exhaustion for failure, and maybe the most human thing we ever built will be systems that remember people are fragile. Kindness scales too, soft lights across the circuitry, warmth inside the architected sheet, care inside complexity. Kindness scales too, and maybe that is how they get through. But by refusing to stop being human, take your time, I'll explain it again.
So neither of those songs are proper songs. Neither of those songs are anywhere near what an artist could create. I'm completely and utterly unmusical. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. You know, I'm not a stereotypical blind person who's good at music in any way, shape or form. But I liked being able to just create those two silly little songs as, you know, they're part of my design fiction, but they're not, you know, I wouldn't put them on.
They're really good. You've sent them to me and I listened to them. Yeah. I think they're brilliant. Very powerful.
Yeah, they're a bit of fun, aren't they? They're not art.
So, I think it's a really empowering thing to be able to do for not, you know, whether you're vision impaired or not, but yeah, really powerful and a lovely thing to do, very uplifting. Mm. Just in case my question earlier didn't come across in the right way, my point about did you feel you authored it?
Yeah,
was suggesting that you absolutely did author the story, not that AI had. I think. So hopefully you heard it in that context.
Oh yeah, no, it did. No. It's one of the big questions of our time, isn't it? You know, people talk about AI slop. My question is, is James Cameron the movie director? You know, we have a title movie director. They don't build the sets and hold every camera and turn point every light, do they? They don't deliver every line. They don't write every line. They direct the movie. When I use, you know, I for instance, say I'm a design fictionist and I use generative AI as my medium. So I direct it. I pack the context. I shape the flow of what it produces.
Yeah. That's a very powerful role. And what I've read of your work is very inspiring. So what would you do before AI? Did you, you know, to channel your creativity as an alternative,
I said before AI, I suffered from the personality disorder called unrelenting standards. And unless I could just sit down and write something that sounded like Stephen King had written it without editing it at all, unless it came out perfectly the first time,
Yeah.
I never really did anything. So I finished about one thing in 1,000
Yeah.
because I couldn't do it. Now I just, the beauty of AI is you can say, give me 25 names for a fake chocolate company. And one of them will be absolutely, one of them will make you go, oh no, this is what it should be. So it very rarely comes up with the right one. But if you say, give me 25 examples of this, one of them will make you think of what the real one should be.
Yeah,
Or
yeah.
a line like kindness scales too. Or when I one of my stories is called Deathbot 2000. It's about a combat drone, a battlefield combat drone being decommissioned and having an exit interview and being offered the role of being an audio describer for blind people as a new career. So I spent months thinking about this and researching it, and you know, because I've been working on AI audio description, and I was paranoid about that. I was creating things that could be used for other uses, because saying the man with the beard is about to shoot, has just shot the woman with blonde hair, is the same sort of technology which triggers the automatic cannons to shoot the man with the beard just as he's about to shoot the woman with the blonde hair. It's battlefield awareness. So I did all of that. So I created all of the background to the story. And then when it generated the story, at the very end, it said, are you happy to do it? And it said, yes, because for once, the mission is not to decide who dies, it's to make sure nobody misses out on what happens next. The best line in the whole story was written by AI. But I have to give it that, because it only wrote that story because I told it to. It only generated that line because of the context I'd given it. It
Yeah.
only it
Yeah.
only it only got there because I'd spent so long chatting to it about
Yeah.
was an
Yeah.
automatic weapon the same as an audio describer. So it's
We've got a question coming from Ricky, and
cool.
then so Ricky, do you want to fire away, and then we'll probably draw things to a close. But thank you. Yeah, Ricky, do you want to go ahead?
Well, can you hear me? Because
Yes, I
yep. I've
can.
got the
Yep.
same
Yeah.
problem as before. Okay, so this has been really, really well, very interesting and inspiring at the same time.
Okay.
Your what you've described is generating content, short stories, music, videos, and exploring AI and assistive technology and related topics
Yeah.
while you do it, as a philosopher, sort of thing that philosophers
Yeah.
do. So fabulous. I think what we need, I'm going to put this out there and maybe somebody knows the answer. Recommend a good book with dozens of different applications for AI. Because just listening to you for 45 minutes has totally stretched my brain, you know. Because if I think of generating a short story through AI, that's just me asking AI for a short story. But you've made it so much more interesting and complicated. But
Oh,
if
good.
I'm actually wanting AI to help me run my business or help me get out of bankruptcy or help me fix the roof or help me, bring up my children or feed the dog or
Yeah.
run the farm. You know what I mean? Like there's so much, and it'd be great if there is such a book of just different people who've used AI in ways that are a bit more than the obvious, like you have.
What a good
So
suggestion.
that's my question. Does anybody know any such book?
I mean, what I'd say, Ricky, is, and I'm not, there's a million, I listen to a million podcasts every week, which are all of those things you've just said.
Yeah.
About all of the business, those are the things that every sighted person on the internet's talking about. You can sign up to a million newsletters, you can sign up to a million podcasts. Those are all business AI is everywhere. LinkedIn's full of it. And the stuff I'm doing is the weird blind stuff. You know, the
Yeah,
it's
and I
just it's
suppose I
yeah.
don't just mean business. I mean, like the question isn't how do I get AI to do what I want to do. The question is, what, what what areas in life can I drag AI into? Because there's some way for it to help, and one
So,
needs one's imagination stretching.
you know what the question is then? The question is, what do you want to do? That's
Yeah, I
it.
think
So
that is
that,
it.
yeah,
Yeah.
that, I mean, just go into the box and type, how do I
What
do
shall I
this?
do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bloke who runs a YouTube channel, and he just, when there's a new model comes out, he just types into it, help me make money.
Yes, okay.
There's a website where you can just say, create me a business, and it will just create you a business, and it'll say, right, okay,
Yeah.
you put 100 quid a month in, and it will run it, and you'll probably lose the
Yeah.
100 quid a month. There's
Yeah.
we're only limited by our imagination. And
Yeah.
the beauty of the going back to, you know, when I talked about my trad blind thing, and the beauty of that, those are all saved as files. So when I want to create something new, I just load in all of that. I load in the song, load in the trad blind, load in the blind skier, load in the football songs, load in all the down the Banksy interviews, and then I just say, okay, generate a new version down the banks, down the bank. I wrote it, so I live where I live. There's this CO2 carbon capture pipeline thing, and everyone's up in arms. So I loaded in all of the down the Banksy stuff. Next minute, down the Banksy is getting interviewed for the Wirral News, where I live, on her protest artists about carbon capture pipelines. And because it's got all the context, it can just do it. The thing to think the way to think about the way I think about it is, it's got billions and trillions of words in it. It's got every word that everyone's ever put on the internet, and every put in a book, basically. They've stole a lot, haven't they? It's all in there. And you've got to find some way of getting it out in some interesting, useful way. And if you just say, write a story about a dog, it'll write a really bog standard story about a dog. But the more weird ways you can ask it, you can say, think about a cow, think about a rocket, think about, the theory of conservation of energy, and then write a story about a dog. You'll get a much different story, different, more interesting story about a dog after you've asked it to think about three different, completely unrelated things.
I think maybe what it's done, CJ, is it breaks down the barriers between people. I think perhaps naturally, maybe it's my personality type, but maybe we put, like you talked about, the things wanting to be perfect. We sort of end up boxing ourselves into the things that we think we can do quite well and leaving well alone the things that we don't think we're any good at or don't know anything enough about to comment on. And I suppose what AI does is perhaps open that box a bit so that we can experiment and expand our scope of capability in different ways. And it takes a bit of getting used to sort of pushing the boundaries of what we think we can engage with. So, it's, I think what the point that Ricky was making is, we need, maybe need some carrots, some encouragement to think out the box of what we're capable of imagining and to have those conversations and sort of examples of what people have done. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? But I think your point about blind people and the particular opportunities that AI provides. So maybe we need to start a blog of or a share ideas of what for us visually impaired people, what AI has particularly helped us with, to share those examples we started to do earlier on.
If I could invite people to go to charli.info, there's a section on there called Blind Ant, and in that is all of my different types of design fiction. And there's all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff in there about AI and blindness and accessibility. There's a story about a blind witch getting her first magic wand, which is a comment on Just Ask a Human. There's a piece on there about, like, say, Emma Hart, the blind skier. There's a whole section on there from Big Charlie's blind marketing agency, and Big Charlie helps companies market assistive technology towards blind people. And Big Charlie's motto is, they'll never see you coming. And I created a thing called the Crown of Thorns, which was a thing that you wear around your head that pricks your scalp and tells you which direction to walk in. Three people tried to buy it. I created a fake set of glasses by Luma Lens, advertised by Goat, and it was all about empathy, compassion, trademark loops. Three people offered to beta test it. So I had to stop doing Blind Charlie because it was too realistic. He wrote a story about a guy called Lucky Lucarelli who had been hit by cars three times and was invented white sticks that glow like lightsabers. Somebody's inventing now. I'd seen this first, but somebody is inventing white, has invented white sticks that glow like lightsabers. So,
So you've set a good example of pushing the boat out in terms of creativity and imagination, haven't you? And I think it's
well,
certainly creating opportunities to do that.
the lo there's a the logo of Blind Ant is a photograph of the alt text printed out. So the visual logo of Blind Ant, so somebody wrote the alt text of the visual logo, printed the alt text on a piece of paper, and then photographed the piece of paper. And the visual logo for Blind Ant now is the photograph of the alt text printed out. And the alt text is the alt text of a piece of paper showing this. So the logo, the visual logo, the visual logo has never existed. It only the alt text exists, so only blind people will ever see the logo as it was supposed to be.
But I'm going to draw things to a close.
Yeah.
Thank you, CJ. Sorry that we're hit by technical problems. We will reschedule and send out a note. So thank you for sorry to those who've come and we're looking forward to the demos, but such is life. And I think we've had a really interesting and thought-provoking conversation instead. So thank you for those of you that are
Thank you very
here.
much.
And we will see you, some of you, next week. Thank you very much for coming, everyone, and see you again shortly.
Thank you very much. Good
Thanks,
night.
CJ.
Thank
Take
you.
care. Good night.
We
Thanks all.
scale the
Good night.
networks. We scale the clouds. Build shining systems loud enough to drown us out. Every year another dashboard, another update to survive, another voice saying, move faster if you want to stay alive. But somewhere in the noise, somebody still cared enough to slow things down. A calm voice in the darkness saying, take your time, I'll explain it again. Not just the cold machinery, not just the acquisition or the endless urgency. Kindness scales too, a thing we do every doorway left open, every system built for people passing through. Somebody wrote the old text, somebody fixed the form, somebody stayed late helping strangers navigate another storm. Somebody made the interface a little easier to trust. And maybe civilization is partly built from things like us. Not heroes, not visionaries, to make the world harder than it has to be. Kindness scales too, not just the cold machine.